Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. This is your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And fans, welcome to Thursday night, June the 17th, and the beautiful year of 2021. And boy, it's getting better and better and better each week. I feel like we're getting back to some sort of normalcy. Thank you to the governors of the states of New York and New Jersey for letting us peasants, letting us peasants have a life again. Thank you for creepy sleeping Uncle Joe Biden for absolutely embarrassing us on the world stage this week with Putin, making us look like complete idiots. But thank you to Sleepy Joe for not making us wear masks anymore, you complete moron. Thanks to Bill de Blasio for continuing to let the city run down and be afraid to even walk the streets. We have miserable politicians, but we are getting our life back. I'm walking into all stores now, mask free. I am free of masks. Thank God. So I am so happy for that. I hope you guys are enjoying it. It's been a really beautiful couple, maybe a good week of nice, cool weather. A little bit of rain, but that's it to be expected. And I hope you guys have enjoyed that this week. And the weather's been, I love this 70s. Anything in the 70s, I got caught us when I go back in for a sweatshirt. So thank God for that. And then by the afternoon, you're in a t-shirt. I hear my wife yelling in the background, so I don't know if she's yelling at me or whoever. But anyway, doesn't matter. We're doing a show. I hope you guys have had a good week. I want to say, first off, a big happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, mine and yours and everybody's. I hope everybody has a great Sunday Father's Day. Whether you're barbecuing, we'll have probably a normal Father's Day for the first time in a couple of years. I'm going over to my mom and dad's for a little lasagna and see my kids and spend some time with them. And, of course, Saturday I'll be doing some family stuff. helping my mom celebrate her birthday. I won't give out the age. I'm sure she wouldn't be happy, but I want to wish my mom a happy birthday. I love her dearly, and I love both my parents. They're the best, and I'm going to get to celebrate Father's Day and my mother's birthday on Sunday, but my mom is I'll see her on Saturday at a little family get-together, so I'm looking forward to seeing her and spending a little time on her birthday. A little bit of a milestone, but we won't announce it because I don't think she want me to. But I do wish my mom a happy birthday, and I love her dearly. So, again, the show's going to go on today. We got a lot to talk about, but nothing in between. I have a bunch of random stuff. We'll talk some baseball. I hate the way the game is being played today. This whole thing with making the big deal about the pitchers. I don't know how you guys feel, but, putting substances on the ball, scuffing the ball, cutting the ball has been illegal for a very, very long time. And for baseball also now to make a big deal out of it, guys, we know why that's being done. Okay? Nobody was hitting the ball. You're not going to tell me that the league didn't know that pitchers were using rosin with sunscreen and spider something and all of a sudden now it's a major problem. No, it's because nobody was hitting the ball. And they had to do something to fix it. And to do it in the middle of a season, I think, is really unfair to the pitchers for something you've been ignoring. And listen, I've saw some pitchers saying, it's been the last 4 years. Bullshit. This has gone on since the Gaylord Perry days. Before that, Whitey Ford back in the day was scuffing balls. Listen, this has gone on. Now, maybe this is one of those rules that people kind of overlook and smile about, and we talk about, it's illegal, but who cares? Again, there's certain things I always say that baseball should regulate themselves on the field. If you know the pitcher's scuffing the ball, do something about it. Throw at somebody, and I'm sure that both pitchers were going at it. So the pitchers on the Yankees, for argument's sake, they're doing it. So the Yankees can't complain about the Blue Jay pitchers doing it because the Blue, all teams doing it and vice versa. So I want to get everybody's take on that. Is it that big a deal? We'll talk about the Nets. Shitty game on Sunday. I thought they were going to be done. Great game by Durant on the other night. I think it was Tuesday night. Amazing game. I can't imagine how much better he could have played. What's up, Johnny Collins? Big game for the Nets tonight. The momentum's with them. I still think it's a game they could lose. And right now, they're teetering. They need to win this series. But it's a great series and good job by the Nets the other night. Actually, by the Nets by Kevin Durant. We'll talk a little bit about Dynamite Kid and Bret Hart, their documentaries I got to watch this weekend. Let's see. The Yankees are a mess. Let's see. Kiss is announcing the next tour, the continuation of the End of the Road tour, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Let's see. Again, I told you Biden met up with Putin and got completely embarrassed. Do you know this moron? I'm sorry. I gotta get this off my chest. This moron, Biden. Hey, how much of a moron? He makes a big deal. He goes to a meeting with the leader of Russia and says, Mr. Putin, I'm giving you a list of 16 things that I say you can't hack. This is a list of 16 things you cannot hack. All right? We won't stand for you hacking this 16 things. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just some dumb construction moron. I'm saying to myself, first of all, if you had 16 things you didn't want him to hack, why would you give him a list of what those 16 things are? Okay, that's one. So you just narrowed it down. There's 16,000. These are 16 you can't. You can hack the rest, but don't hack these. How stupid. Second thing, why wouldn't you just go up and say, if you hack us again, we're reversing it, and we're going to nail you to the wall, and you're gonna never get recouped from what we did to you. I got to tell you, again, guys, I understand why people voted for him. They hated Trump. I'm telling you, if you're watching this guy and you don't see that he's completely incompetent, they hide him from the world. They do not let him take questions that aren't predetermined. By God, he's an embarrassment. Yes, he doesn't tweet. I get it. He don't tweet. He don't say nasty things. You know something? We haven't been in this position since, I don't know, 4 years ago when the other moron was in there. But okay, let's get, maybe, Johnny, maybe you're right. Maybe it's reverse psychology and he wants them to hack it. Do you think Russia needs a list of what to hack? If they want to hack us, I think they know what to hack. Same thing as us. I'm sure we know what to hack there. This guy is completely lost, completely over his head. And I can't for the life of me think how anybody thinks this guy's doing a decent job. Nobody does. I see all my Democratic liberal friends running for the hills on social media. Not one of them comes out there and says, this guy is great. He's not. You know, construction costs are skyrocketing right now. Fuel prices are way up. You know, we are just in a tailspin, and the pilot is an old blind moron, and he happens to be president of the United States. So we'll get to that. You know, Johnny, I'm not going to disagree with that. I don't think he's pushing the buttons out there, but whoever is a moron, and they just have a real puppet. This guy is the quintessential puppet, but he's embarrassing us on the national stage. And you can say what you want about Trump. He was rough. He was boorish. There was a lot of things about him I didn't like, and I love him as a president. But boy, he never embarrassed himself the way this guy is. And he's never – and he – 4-3 years and change, no issues. But, you know, I'll get to more of that later. We got – he's the fall guy. And you're right, John. I agree with you. This guy couldn't find his ass in a phone booth with two hands. I'm sorry, but – guys, we got a lot of baseball stuff too. We're going to talk some football. I want to talk about the quarterbacks, the big quarterbacks heading into the offseason. Yingwei Malmsteen says, hey, you know, I go out of my way to make sure my songs don't all sound the same. Sorry, Yingwei. They all do. I can't listen. All your songs sound the same to me. I get that they're obviously different, but it all sounds the same. So, Yingwei, you failed. But I will talk about it with Jeff when he gets on in a little bit. We'll talk about the Islander series. Great hockey series so far, 1-1. You know, you got to love playoff hockey. And the other series, hopefully it's going to stay a good series, Montreal. I think it's 1-1, Montreal and the Golden Knights. The Golden Knights have turned into quite the team for a expansion team. So lots of fun there. Cam Newton, Trevor Lawrence, Robert Sala, quarterbacks, the Jets. Tyreek Hill says the Chiefs should go 20-0 this year, even though there's only 17 games. I guess he's adding the playoffs in. I want to see how the Chiefs respond. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots to get to. I hope you guys have had a great week. I hope you guys have a great weekend. To all you guys, Johnny and everybody else out there. Oh, by the way, get out to Juicy Lucy tonight. They got the drive-in. I think they're playing an Iron Maiden concert. You know, I love this stuff, and I wish I was free on this Thursday night to go. I would definitely have gone to this. So get out to Juicy Lucy. One, it's a great barbecue place. The food is amazing. The bartender, he's one of the sexiest human beings alive, my good friend Johnny Collins. Always slinging up some good stuff. I don't know if Johnny's working tonight, but get out there anytime Johnny's working and make sure you tip him really good because he happens to be a good guy and he wants to retire soon. So make sure you see Johnny Collins. But get out to Juicy Lucy. They have the best food on the island. I'm telling you, they're not a sponsor of the show, even though, you know what, they could sponsor us anytime. But I do love their food. Every chance I get when I'm on the island, I pop over there and get myself a little something. And, you know, I recommend them over the Old Toto's on Father Capodanno Boulevard. Please make sure you go out and see Richie. And his whole team, they do an amazing job. They have some of the best brisket and ribs you could ever get. So make sure you guys get up to Juicy Lucy and see everybody. And if you see Johnny Collins, tell him I sent you. Not that it's going to get you anything, but tell Johnny I said hello. But again, to everybody out there, make sure you guys have a great weekend. Have fun at your barbecues. I think the weather's going to be nice, I hope. And we got a lot of stuff coming up this month. Next week, Sammy Lee from Red Rain will be my guest along with Jeff. I think we got some other guests coming down the pike, but nobody I can really announce yet. And other than that, let's get the show kicked off. I think my dad's hanging. I'm going to get him on quick and early and talk to him about what's on his mind. And guys, if you want to call in, the 347-826-9934 number is wide open. So make sure you can use that or comment here on the Facebook page. Check us out on Spotify, spotify.com. You go to the podcast section, type in Hard Rock and Sports. And there's over 400 and something episodes. We're coming up at the end of July on 7 years doing this. Man, I don't know if that's good or bad, but 7 years that Jeff and I and the show's been around. So make sure you go there. If you want to see some old, listen to some of the old shows, you can go to our YouTube page and see all of these shows that we've been doing the last year on video. And listen, guys, we love the fact that you're out there listening to us. And, listen, let's get this show kicked off. So let me get my dad on and see what he's got to talk about this week. What up, Pop?
What's up, Tommy? How you doing?
I'm good, Pops.
Hey, man. I'm watching a game. It's really, there's nothing really exciting going on. in any sport. I try watching the Nets. I watch Philly. I don't know how Philly even wins games.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Oh, their center, I don't know his name. And I don't want to know his name, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy's terrible. I don't know how he got on the team. I mean, he takes shots. I haven't seen him make a shot yet. Foul line, he's terrible.
Yeah, no, agree, Dad. Listen, Philly's one of those teams that have great regular seasons, and then their big guys, Simmons, Joel Embiid, they're either hurt or they disappear.
Gotcha. Joel Embiid.
I think Simmons last night was like, I think he had 4 points. He was like 1 of 10 shooting. It was just horrendous. And, you know, this is a team that's going to wind up losing to Atlanta. Atlanta's not a good team, but they're going to lose to them. And then the winner of the Nets series is going to the finals. I mean, there's just no doubt in my mind. I mean, I think and I got to be honest with you, the Nets haven't really impressed me. And neither have the Bucks. I think the Bucks have played a little bit of decent basketball for the most part, though. They've not played well. And I told a buddy of mine at work, my friend Mike, I said, this kid Giannis, the Greek freak, he's an amazing athlete, but the guy can't shoot.
He shoots them all over.
Oh, my God, he can't shoot. Yeah. He's terrible. So
I got to tell you, I watch, and the only team so far that I'm impressed with is Atlanta.
You have to be. They're not a great team, but you're right, Dad. They're the
but
team all
together, they're young, and they just, and that, what was it, Bogdanovich?
Yes, Bogdanovich, and they got the kid.
Right. Poor shooter.
Yeah.
Poor shooter.
Absolutely.
And the Nets, I agree with what you said. I'm not impressed with them. If they ever get a team that plays defense, because the Bucks, oh, my God. Wow.
Well, I'll tell you,
I can't believe they lost their game the other night.
I watched Sunday's game, and they played great defense. They frustrated Durant the whole game. Part of what I want to talk about tonight was Durant was so frustrated, he took himself out of the game, and that's how they won. But then I'm watching the other night. I had the game on the whole time. I was flipping back and forth with the Yankees and the Islanders. And, you know, I'm watching, and they're, it's third quarter, and they're up 17 or 19. And all of a sudden, you see the lead disappearing. And what I couldn't figure out, why Durant's the only one killing him. Why aren't you double-teaming him? Let somebody else beat you. You don't let the best player on the court beat you.
No, you do what you have to do. Even if you gotta foul him, you got to hit him with elbows.
Yeah.
You got to make – every time he takes a shot, you got to make him pay for that shot.
100%.
Hit him with an elbow. Yeah, I don't
understand. No.
And I'm watching Atlanta. Oh, my God. I thought the game was over.
Yeah.
I watched it another thing. I put it back, I said, what the hell's going on? They're winning the game. It was just magnificent. Oof. I think Atlanta's got a good team.
I will tell you this kid, oh, my God, this kid Sanchez is the absolute worst catcher. He is absolutely the worst. Another pass ball. He doesn't move his body. Everything is backhanded. Holy cow, I don't know if you're watching this on the TV. Terrible pitch, but he makes no effort to get out in front of that pitch. No effort whatsoever. All right, anyway, tired of talking about that guy. And you know the bad part of him, Dad, is he's starting to hit just good enough where they're not going to get rid of him at the end of the year. You know what I mean? He's just starting to hit
good enough. Well, they won't get rid of him because it makes them look like fools. That's the only reason they're keeping him.
He
was so highly thought of as a catcher, but he's not. And he's like a lot of home run hitters. They get streaks. They get onto streaks. Home run hitter, most home run hitters, they get on streaks. They go for a day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks, hitting like crazy. Then all of a sudden they go 2 months without even foul tipping a ball. And that's the same thing for him. Wait for him a couple of days and forget it.
Yeah.
So what else is there? Anything good, man?
No, Pop. Like I said, just watching I've watched the Yankees the last couple nights, and I mean, last night was great. I mean, we had Bianco over for a little while, but I had the Yankee and the Met game on, and I'm flipping back. I love watching these guys pitch. Cole, DeGrom. I mean, you gotta love. I mean, a guy like DeGrom comes across once in a generation. I mean, you get your Koufax. Maybe you put like a Randy Johnson type guy, a guy who just comes up with no. I've never seen anybody pitch Maybe I've never seen anybody pitch as good as this guy. I've never seen.
He reminds me of Koufax.
Yeah, you know, it's every single game he pitches, it's not even. It's like if he gives up two runs, it's like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. I think he's hurt now.
Yes.
And they're claiming that there's nothing wrong with him. But your shoulder doesn't hurt for no reason. Your shoulder's telling you something's wrong. They said they gave him exams and everything came out negative. And I'm going to tell you, and I'll bet on it now, that you're going to see he's going to wind up with something wrong with him. Because I'm sorry. You don't hurt for no reason. Your leg hurts. There's a reason.
Yeah.
And they're not finding it.
I agree.
And it's not the first time.
At some point that they're going to have to, sit him down because there is something wrong. So maybe now he's overcompensating with the. Because I heard something like this morning. He had the hip was bothering him a little bit.
Right.
It was the elbow last week. So again, I've never seen anybody pitch like him. I mean, I've seen great seasons from Clemens, from Guidry, Maddux. But I've never seen that. Again, I think you got to go back to maybe Koufax. I don't know if Gibson.
That's about the only pitcher.
Yeah, I don't know if those guys were
dominant.
But this guy, this guy does it every single week. Like this, look, he doesn't go six or seven starts and then have a bad two or three starts or a bad start. He is completely 100% dominating every single time he pitches.
Well, you see what the problem is now. If you look very closely, baseball is like football. People don't want to see a no-hitter, a 1-1, two-hit game. They want.
Mm-hmm.
So now what's happening, the hitters ain't hitting. So they're going to do what they did to Koufax and Bob Gibbons, Gibson, and the rest of them. They lowered the mound. So now that's not going to work. They wanted to push the mound back, which was a little stupid.
Yeah.
Okay? So now they're going to come out, something they've been using over 100 years. This has been going on for years. This isn't something new. They've all been doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what it is that, I get it. Now they got a rundown here. That this is the weirdest thing coming up. They're going to double play
double
on this.
Play.
Holy cow, how bad is this?
Stupid. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's
God.
I just watched. This is what baseball is deteriorated to what it is. This is about as bad a fundamentals as you could possibly get.
Toronto's going to challenge it.
Yeah, of course they are. But you know that. But again, I agree with you. You know, this isn't something that started happening last week. And I think baseball's been fine with it. I think the only problem right now for baseball, the only problem with baseball is nobody's been hitting the ball. So now they got to fix it because it's drastically bad. But
well,
you're right.
You know what it is, Tommy? It's baseball's been so bad of hitting for the last year or two, especially this year, is really bad. So they have to make it. They love these 10-5, you know, 12-2 games. They love it. So now what happens, what are they going to do? So they got to do something to the pitchers. So instead of, like you said before, them doing this before the year started, all right?
Yeah.
They should have did this in spring training, before spring training, talk to them and tell them. So they're trying to show everybody how tough they are. And now you can't. You've been doing this for over 100 years. They've been greasing the ball. The umpires used to do that themselves. They used to take that Mississippi Bud.
Yeah.
And they used to rub it all over the baseball.
They still do. I believe it's still done.
So,
and that's to make sure they grip the ball better. But you can't now, in the middle of a season or ever, you can't alter the game to make it fairer for one side or the other. Like, you can't, you know, push in the fences 40 feet. You know, and to make it easier for guys to hit home runs, and you can't move the mound, lower the mound, raise the mound. You can't do anything to alter the game. The players have to adjust to the game the way it's being played and outfox the pitchers like football. You know, guys come up with a brand new defense. What happens? The offense goes out.
You
find a way to beat it. Same thing. The offense come up with this brand new scheme. They dominate the defense. All of a sudden, the defense figures it out, and it goes away. You cannot change the game because one side or the other is at an advantage. You just can't do it. So
I'm looking at it now. If this holds up, it's a triple play.
Yes,
it wasn't a double play.
It was a triple play. Yes, you're 100%. That's a triple play.
Yeah, oh my! I just noticed it now. Wow.
it's crazy.
I'm telling you, man. 100%. All right,
Tommy,
I'm going to let you go.
Pops.
And enjoy it, and I'll probably see you Sunday.
No, I'll see you Saturday at the family event.
Oh, that's right, Saturday at Nick's.
I'll see you,
okay.
Yep.
I'll see you. All right, have a good night. I'll talk to you guys later.
You got
a pop. Bye-bye.
See you later. That's my dad, checks in every week. Always love having my pops on the show. And again, Hard Rocket Sports, 347-826-9934 is the number. Make sure you check us out today. We got a lot to get to. Still plenty of baseball to talk about. Craziest triple play I ever saw. But I see, you know, I'm almost tempted. You know, I don't even want to put him on when he comes up with stupid stuff. When he puts up these ridiculous names on the bottom of his under his thing, like I'm supposed to be impressed that he's quoting it, that he's using his coach, quote unquote, Rex Ryan wannabe coach as his name to get on the show tonight. But because I love him dearly and he is the backbone of the show, I have to bring him on. The soon to be retired, the sexiest man on the other side of my screen, he is of course Jeff Tolinski. What's up, Pepe?
Hold on, I'm looking at something.
You're looking at something? You want me to put you back on hold again?
No, you can leave me on. I'm going to unveil it soon. Oh, yeah. Giants suck.
Oh, that was it? That's your unveiling?
I'm looking at one of my models right now.
You know, folks, let me tell you something. I've never seen as many models at a Victoria's Secret convention or a showcase than this guy has. I get at least two a month where I get the text. I got my new models, and the Giants are going to win 3 games. Oh, I got my new model, the Giants are going to win 5 games. Oh, I got my new model, the Giants aren't going to win any games. His models are useless as Dom Ginta at a basketball game. Okay? That's how useful his models are. Take it how you want. When the Giants win the NFC East this year, what are you going to say to me? What are you going to have to say to me at the end of the year? When the Giants win the East, and I'm calling you during a Giant playoff game, texting you and sending you photos, because I know you won't watch it, because you'll be scared to death that they're going to win the game. I'll be texting you videos. What are you going to do when the largest arms in the world smother you, Jeff? You done?
Are you done?
I'm done. For now.
Thank you. First of all, we're not going to have to worry about that.
We're not?
I'm not going to have to worry about it. No.
You sure?
Yeah, possibly.
Will that be
the NFC East, the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. Followed by the Washington Redskins, okay? Then it's going to be the battle of fourth place between the Eagles and the Giants. And by the way, I was, before I came on to the TV, I noticed that our friends in Israel are back at it with the Palestinians.
Uh-huh.
They're bombing the Palestinians.
Yes.
And, I may be going to bomb something myself very soon. So if I happen to go, it just means I was.
Well, are you supporting Israel in the bombing of the of your bombing? Is that in support of Israel?
I can't actually say anything simply because they're in their second day of bombing, and I found out about literally about 6 minutes ago. So I really don't think I have much of a quote on it. I was just using it as a segue to say that I got to segue something out of here.
Understood. And if you have to dart out, don't worry. We'll cover for you literally. And hello, but Jeff, we always start the show the same way, and I won't change it tonight. Jeff, how was your week? He's safe.
It was interesting, to say the least, man.
Are you starting to get nervous? Are you starting to get a little reflective of your career, with maybe the days counting down to your final times in the Parks Department uniform?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
I can't wait to never put that fucking thing on again.
Will there be any aspect of the job that you will miss? Is there anything you say, well, you know, I worked with some really cool people or whatever? Is there some part of the job that you'll go, you know, I miss that?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's about as honest as you can get.
No, I'm being completely honest with you. No, I would miss. I think I would miss more if I was to give an orangutan a crescent wrench and ask them to fill a cavity that I had in the back with a 10-penny nail and a rock, okay? And just let him, to his own devices, do what he's got to do.
Now you're still a very young guy.
And then eat ice cream when he was done.
Done? Well, that's kind of an interesting take there, Jeff. But let me ask you this question while you're simmering, while your stomach juices are simmering.
Oh, it's all simmering. Yeah. All right.
In your next endeavor, would you go out of your way to try to avoid working weekends? Like I know for a long time now you've worked every Sunday, a lot of the holidays. Would your next endeavor kind of be, you know, pick and choose and say, hey, I really don't want to work any more weekends. It's kind of a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday thing. Or are you open to anything at this point?
I don't know. I got to see what's available and what's out there. You know what I mean? I would take a couple weeks off, but
sure,
I would definitely, without a doubt, start looking. And I don't know where I would go knocking. You know, I would have to see. And it would be nice to get something else that has a little bit of a pension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe if you get a 10-year pension in there, but not necessarily that important either. You know, as long as you're smart with the way you do things, you should be all right.
I mean, listen, you got a pension. It'd be nice to get another one. It would never hurt. But, you know, if you got to put a few bucks in your pocket every week, put a little bit out of the way, keep yourself busy. But, you, at this point in your life, you get to pick and choose where you wanted your next career to go. And good for you. I think you've obviously earned it. I mean, since you graduated in 1984, you've had a full-time job as far as I've known. So, you know,
getting old.
Yeah, so 36, 37 years later, you know, believe me, I'm with you. I wish I was joining you, but I'm so happy and proud for you. And, if the paychecks ever start flowing from the Hard Rock and Sports Show, you'll be number one on the list.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But right now, it's just a matter of seeing what happens. And, you know, like I said, maybe one day you'll be working on a skyscraper and be somebody at the bottom like, oh, throw me down a job application, man.
Would you be joining me at the top of the found of the skyscraper?
Well, listen, I don't know what would happen and what it would all be about, but I know this much. When the time comes, I'm going to be looking,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to have to get something, you know, to help out a little bit, without a doubt. And like I said, I want all options on the table. I ain't going to kill myself, but, you know, I ain't afraid to do some work.
It'll feel different, though. You got to, the one thing you have to admit is, no matter what you do, it's going to be different than what you've been used to for the last, 35 years.
Oh, of course.
So,
yeah.
You know, and to think, you might actually have to travel more than 3 minutes to do it.
But you must be insane. I'm the man in charge. I can do whatever I want.
That's true.
I don't have to take anything that's far away.
That is absolutely the case. You definitely don't have to do anything that you don't want to, which is a great thing. So hopefully that'll be the case. You know what? Maybe we can get you hooked up with Sleepy Joe Biden, because he needs all the help he can get. I was ranting and raving about 10 minutes ago about that. I don't know how much of it you saw. But your boy Biden.
I actually didn't see anything, unfortunately.
Well, your boy Biden, he met with Vladimir Putin at a little bit of a conference. I think it was one day, but it could have been two. I'm not really sure. But he came out of to his press conference, and they were asking, what did you talk to him about? And he said, well, I went in with a list of 16 things that I told Vladimir Putin that Russia cannot hack. Just think about that for a second. You went into a meeting with the president of Russia, and you told him, here's 16 things in our country that you can't hack. Now, there's a couple things major wrong. I said it before, and I'll say it again. First off, why, if those were actually true, why would you go to him and say, hey, these 16 things you can't hack? So, obviously, if I was Putin, I go, okay, those are the first things I'm going to hack. Second thing is, why wouldn't you walk in the door and go, you don't hack anything in our country ever again? Not because, you know, there's 16,000 things that they could hack, you know, between infrastructure and military, private. There's thousands and thousands of things that Russia or people working for Russia could hack. Why would you go in there and narrow it down to only 16 things that Russia's not allowed to hack? I mean, does that make any sense?
Really not much that makes sense with this fucking guy, bro.
Really
not much that's very... it gives a lot of confidence, a lot of issues, a lot of things that make you say, like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Completely incompetent.
I think that everybody's prediction of them removing him from office and putting Kamala Harris in, I think is off. All right, I think it's off. I don't know what they're waiting for.
Well, she's been a disaster. That's the problem.
Listen, I totally understand that. Yeah. But like you just said, you can't go into a fucking meeting with somebody else in another country with 16 specific things. You know, what do you? That's like saying the next time maybe you go in with 16 things, but four of them are negotiable. 10 are definitely not.
Yeah.
And the other ones, maybe. Yeah. If you give me something, I could give you this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. It was the dumbest. I'm driving home, and I'm listening to this press conference, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Like, what are you thinking about? You're actually going in and narrowing down to only 16 things that they can't hack. I mean, I don't understand that. I'd love to see the list. I'd love to know what it was. We're never going to know. But why wouldn't you just walk in and say, "Hey, Vlad, nice suit. You hack anything in my country again, we're coming after you personally. I'll ruin your little country." That should have been it. Should have been over. Instead, he said, "Oh, you can hack all these other things. Just don't hack these 16 things." It has to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Dude, there's a lot of dumb shit going on.
No, I agree.
I'm more than anybody.
No,
I
agree with that, but that's the dumbest of them. I'm sorry. That's the dumbest of them. You got Kamala Harris is in charge of the border. She doesn't go. But I'm not going to dig deep into politics. Just a couple observations. Your boy de Blasio, I know you want to be nice because you're waiting for him to sign the papers, but he's letting these morons run the city. I mean, I don't know, but all this Washington Square Park, they've turned it into a drug den, and he just goes, it's no problem. People are enjoying themselves out there. I mean, this
First
guy.
Of all, Washington Square Park has been bad for a while.
100%.
Second of all, and the reason I know all of this is because my friend is in charge of Washington Square Park.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There is a jerk off from, I think it said in Connecticut, I think he said he's from,
mm-hmm.
that has been paying and financing a nightly rave. That
yes, I saw that in the paper. I saw that in the paper. Yes, okay. I saw that, yeah.
So now the cops who I saw there were swinging bicycles at these people and everything else. It's like, first of all, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Shut it down.
Yeah.
I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to revisit this in a week. Shut it down. After a week, you don't want to shut it down? Okay. No problem. Contact the governor or whatever it is you got to do. Bring in the National Guard. I want you to surround the park with fucking tanks, planes, helicopters, fucking flamethrowers, whatever. Mortarmen, mm-hmm. whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
I want them there. And I want this thing squashed. Okay, not only do I want it squashed, but by daylight, I want that place to be fucking completely emptied out. Fuck these people. Okay? I do not understand what it is that these people are trying to get at. What? This is like Mad Max.
Yeah.
Some of the shit that goes on. I don't understand these people. I really don't.
No, I agree, but what I don't get is that the mayor of the city of New York just turning a blind eye to it and letting it happen. And you want to say, well, the people in the park can, you know, they're citizens and they'll have to do whatever they want. But what about the people who live around it who don't want to see the homelessness, the drug use, and the crime that goes with it? I just don't understand the thought process.
Probably been there for 50 years.
No, Jeff, I get that, but there's a difference between a bunch of kids in the park smoking pot and another thing where you got people shooting up at the shooting gallery. I mean,
it's been bad for a while, huh?
You know, I'm sorry.
I'm not condoning it, but it's not something that's going to get cleaned up overnight.
I agree with you, but turning a blind eye to it and letting it be turning into a bigger cesspool. Huh?
He has 6 months left.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Oh, Jim, he has a kid in 7.5 years. I agree with you. I'm just saying is, at what point, like, you know what?
He's brainless on top of it. He's fucking brainless.
Agreed. And now the people running the people running for his job on the Democratic side are scarier individuals. They had this one woman, Maya something. She may be the most dangerous.
Maya Wiley.
If she gets in, I got to move tomorrow. She's talking about it already. She wants to disarm the cops.
I don't think she's going to get in.
Listen, I'm not a huge fan of Eric Adams, and I'm not a huge fan of Sliwa. I got to tell you a funny story about Louis Pica ran into Fernando Mateo, who's running against Curtis Sliwa for the Republican to go against whoever for the Democratic side. And Louis ran into him at Home Depot in Staten Island. Funny story. I won't tell it on the air because
first of all,
yeah,
real quick, there is no Republican side.
I wouldn't agree with that, but there is a Republican.
This is going to be a Democratic landslide. Okay, and you're right. As far as these people go, Stringer, they keep coming up with sexual allegations against them. Catherine Garcia, she has a deeper voice than me, which leads me to believe I got to ask the question on air, off the air, wherever. Is this woman a fucking tranny?
Listen,
I'm dead serious.
Wait. The last time you used that word, I had to have a special show for you.
There may be a special show on the move as we make a mass exodus to get out of here.
No, listen, Jeff, I'm telling you, and Patrick, you're 100% right. This Maya Wiley, if she gets in, I'm telling you, my hasty retreat to Florida is going to get sped up because she wants to defund them, take the guns away from them. She wants to put in laws that they can only use their guns in certain spots. I mean, you got to be kidding me. If I was a guy in a cop in the city, I would be running for the hills if she gets in.
There's no way that she wins. I highly, highly
doubt
it.
AOC won two times in a row. I would have told you she won the first one. She snuck in the door. Your boy DeBozo won the second time. How he got a second shot at it, I'll never figure out.
Because I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay,
we're as adults, we're starting to pay attention a little bit more to this. We probably wouldn't pay attention to half of this stuff 7-8 years ago.
Agreed, 100%. 100%.
Second of all, you have all of these Democrats. There's about 12 of them running on the mayor side, on the on the Democratic side.
Correct. Yes.
Two Republicans.
Yes. Two Republicans. Yes. Two. Okay. Only two. Yes.
Neither one of the Republicans has a snowball's chance in hell.
I would agree with that.
I don't even see them talking, or debating, nothing.
No, they debated
everything
the other
night. The Democratic side.
I agree with you. I don't think the Republicans have a shot. I don't believe they have a shot. I think Eric Adams is going to be the next mayor. I think he'll be better than than the other choices, but I think it'll still be bad.
Of course, it'll still be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to suck, and it's not even because of Republicans or Democrats. It's just where the fuck are they finding these people?
Yeah,
this is New York City.
Yeah.
This is New York City. There should be posters of whoever's running for mayor because the people should be like, we want to be like him. We want that kind of person as our mayor. We want this.
Absolutely.
These fucking these retards that they're fighting.
Dude, let me tell you something. I would always go out on the limb and say, after president, vice president of the United States, mayor of the city of New York is probably one of the top five positions in all the country.
Well, of course, any big city.
Yeah, but I'm saying New York is the big city. New York is the big place.
Yeah.
And I would say, listen, if Giuliani had played it right, he would have been president 8 years ago. You know, but he blew it. He ran a terrible campaign and he blew it. But, to me, that's a big position. And the only thing I hope for, and I live in New Jersey and it ain't much better, but I hope that Giuliani's kid becomes governor of New York. That would be the only thing that could save. No matter who gets, at least he would have something to hang over the city, the mayor of the city. But if you get another Democrat in there as governor, and then you wind up with one of these morons, Matt, don't worry. The one-way trip to Florida is coming. I'm telling you. You get one of these knuckleheads in there, I can't get out of here.
You're not getting no fucking Republicans in there at any time soon. It's not happening. The people, I don't know. What happens when they go to vote? I don't know what they're fucking thinking about.
I don't know either.
But, I mean, just the way these people act,
uh-huh.
Why the fuck would you want to vote one of them in?
I agree.
Like, Patrick brings up Maya Wiley. Dude, that chick is
scary.
Militant.
Oh.
It's militant.
Oh, yeah.
Militant. You do not need her in that fucking position.
No.
Not at all.
Nope.
She's going to be a bad, bad fucking seed.
Oh, this 100%.
Guy, Chang, Chung,
what,
Chang,
yeah, Andrew Yang.
Okay. He's folded up faster than a piece of paper. It's like an origami goose, it seems. You're right. It's going to be Eric Adams.
It's going to be Eric Adams, yeah.
It's the other ones. They all need to just drop the fuck out.
I agree.
They
listen.
Need to make that chick, Maya Wiley, with the...
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Listen, I agree with Patrick. It is better in Jersey because you have less, you know, each town is differently and you don't have a lot of the problems that you have over there. I don't like the sanctuary city, the sanctuary state status. I don't like Murphy. I think he's done a terrible job. But I would rather live here than in New York City right now, you know, because of what I see every day and what you hear every day. But it's not much better. And the taxes here are ridiculous. I'm lucky I don't have that problem because of where I live, but I will tell you this, it ain't too far in the future if I can't work in New York City, I might as well go to Florida and work because I'm not going to put myself in the cesspool that I went through in the early 90s where we were getting threatened every single day of your life. Ain't worth it at 55 years old, I'll tell you that right now. I'm just telling you, listen, I'll let it on the air. I got a pretty good job offer for Florida. I wasn't even looking, and I got a half a job offer, and didn't
First,
follow.
There's a lot of older homosexuals that run down to Florida.
That's true, very much so.
Just saying that, okay? A lot of older homosexuals that use a wife as a sham marriage.
True,
and, so, you know,
and they're mostly Giant fans,
just
right?
Throwing that out there.
It's mostly Giant fans, right? Is that your theory?
What's that?
They're mostly Giant fans. Historically,
I don't know their football affiliation. But I would imagine that a lot of them are into Big Blue.
You think that's
without a doubt?
Yeah, and Big Blue is more significant with the team, not necessarily what they're after.
No, both.
Both. You got that? Okay.
Both.
Hard Rock Sports, Jeff and Tommy here hanging out for a few hours. I'm a little tired tonight, so I'm going to go. But we'll go as long as we both
this isn't good. You're a little tired. I got to make a drop off. This is not good.
But that's okay. We'll find a way to get through the show tonight.
They like tight ends.
Just remember, everybody, I hope you guys all have a great Father's Day. Enjoy yourself out there. Again, happy birthday to my mom. She'll be celebrating the
birthday.
She's not necessarily into it. So if you see it, don't necessarily mention it to her. But I'll wish her happy birthday because she doesn't listen to the show. So, but your mom's not too keen on the birthday. So if you see her,
listen,
you don't have to mention it.
I don't understand that one.
Yeah, I don't either.
Especially with the women. You're getting older.
Yeah.
Our aunt of mine lies about her age. Okay. I found out the other day, I believe she's going to be 97.
Mm-hmm.
And she lies about her age. Okay. I don't understand it.
Yeah. At some point,
you woke up this morning.
Yeah, it's been
I'd be like, fuck you, I'm 97 years old. You know what I mean?
Do you think at 97 we'd still be doing the show, like just too creepy, You think so? You're not making it? You're not hanging in yet.
No.
We got to get you healthy.
Boy, I'm going to jump on this fucking early retirement. 57 is shaky right now, the way I feel sometimes. So I'm fucking going. If they could say you could take the chance and roll the dice and leave now, okay, and start your retirement and hope that he signs it, I would do that. And then if I have to go back, I got to go back.
There you go. Well, theoretically, you have enough time in the bank that you can take off for the next couple of months and wait it out if you really wanted to, right?
What I'm going to do, as far as my time goes, okay, I got my birthday coming up.
Yep.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a couple days.
Uh-huh.
Because within the next 2 weeks, I should know what happens with this buyout. If this idiot says no to the buyout,
uh-huh,
I'm going to take 2 weeks vacation and fuck this place.
Right.
If the buyout does happen, I want to save up as much of my time,
uh-huh,
and then take 2 days,
uh-huh,
because then I would retire because then I would get a lump sum check. I might, if the buyout doesn't happen, I might not take any time and just take take 2 days because I have two extra days I got put aside that I can use. And then I would let my vacation pile up because I'm over the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So then they would force me to take off. So then I would be like, you know what, I'm working 3 day weeks. I'll work Sunday, Monday, and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And just I'm out. You know?
So what's the percentage in your head that this buyout happens? Is it 50-50 at this point, or is it better than 50-50?
That the buyout happens?
Yes.
I don't know.
Is there a lot of talk?
I can't even put a number on it. First of all, Patrick, thank you for the invite. What part of Jersey are you in, Patrick?
He lives right up the street from me.
Oh, really?
Yes, right up the block from me. I ran into him at the Wawa once in the Blue Moon.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that'd be nice. I would come over, but Tommy will be leaving soon, so.
Don't listen to him, Patrick. I got to put a gun to his head to get him to come out here. You got to be kidding.
I don't know, because I hear different things. The Department of Ed didn't take it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of indications in my job that they're looking to hire supervisors. They're looking to hire other titles. They're giving out tests, all of this shit. So there's the indications that they're going to be hiring different people.
So that would be to hire somebody to fill your spot at a cheaper salary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have to, you know.
No, listen, for you, it's a great thing. I hope it happens. I wish somebody would buy me out of work, but unfortunately, it doesn't work that way in my end of the field. So I'm trying to push my own way out the door, but that's for another day. By the way, folks, I will be back in Florida July 26th to July 30th. So there'll be no show that week unless I decide to do a show from Florida, which I doubt, but I'll be down in the Fort Myers area for a week. Little vacation, little scouting for my future, but up till then we should be here every Thursday night having some fun, doing some talks, and
I got a show that I need to promote.
You do?
Yes, sir.
Go for it.
July 24th at Mother Pug's Soundslate.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
It's starting to look as though it's the last show for Mr. Raiuli.
Oh yeah, why is that?
I really don't know. It seems as though it's kind of a personal matter. I don't know for sure.
That he's going to stop playing or stop doing shows?
Well, he's going to stop doing shows for a while.
Really? I mean, we're just getting back to being able to do shows, and now he's going to stop playing shows?
Can I tell you about life is...
Jeff, you better start getting the Hard Rock and Sports Band cranked up. I think the boys are itching to go. We're just waiting for our fearless leader to push the button.
The problem. I don't know if Chris itches someplace and if it's just going to... I'm open. I don't know.
Chris seems ready. Johnny's ready. I think the set list that you posted wasn't exactly correct, but we can fix that.
I didn't even post the set list.
I saw somebody put something up.
I know Jimmy didn't say anything.
I meant to ask you. I did not see Mr. Galicchio chime in to say yes or no on that one. So we'll have to. But then again, you know, sometimes we get into one of these texting furies, and Jimmy just glosses right over it. So. Oh, he looks up and there's 30 messages. Jimmy's not reading through them all.
Yeah.
So you may have to send Jimmy something on the slide to say, Jim, we're ready. Are you ready? And see what he says. But, you know, we'll take it one step at a time. But I tell you the truth, I've been itching to get out there and play a show. I have to be honest with you. I it's been a long time. It's been almost a year and a half since we played a show.
I would want to, yeah.
So I know we're nowhere. We would absolutely be nowhere near ready to play. We might not be ready to play if we started tomorrow till the fall. But I would, you know, I got the itch to play a little bit. I got some new equipment that you pressured me to buy, and I'd like to get out.
You
saw the guitar hanging on the wall.
Oh, I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I don't know with that. Nothing to do with that. Yeah, if you tell yourself that, then ZZ Top. Yeah, keep telling yourself that. Yeah, wow.
As you can see, mm-hmm. That's got to go to the base doctor tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? Got a little surgery?
I think it's going to go for a little, going to go under the knife a little bit.
Well, as Jeff Simmons, I want to just say I didn't get a chance to promote it, but open the show tonight. We did a couple of videos. Usually do one tonight. I opened up with two of my favorite new bands and some of the great music. First one was Svengali. Great band, love their music, and of course our good friends over at Corners of Sanctuary, Mick Michaels and the boys. Again, both bands on the RFO Records label. I know I'm prejudiced, but I really love these bands. I think they do a great job. It's a lot of old school stuff, and I think it's definitely a couple bands you need to pay attention to. There's a lot of bands on the label. We try to feature different bands every week here, so that was this week. So I played a little Svengali. Ryan Thomas and the boys, and of course our friends Mick Michaels and everybody over there for Corners of Sanctuary. Thanks to Doug Franklin and John Mahefka, everybody at RFO for allowing me to play that music for you to open up the show tonight. Every week is up in the air. You never know what we're going to play, but If you want to play your music here, you want to get your band on the show, reach out to Jeff, reach out to myself, and we'll get you on the air. We got Jeff. You want to start some topics, or do you feel like you're ready to run?
What do you got? No, I'm good. I'm good. What do you got?
I'm going to admit this to everybody out there. I had a rough week this week. I've been really busy at work. And I got to be honest with you, Jeff, you know how this show works. For anybody who doesn't know, a lot of times, Jeff is one thing I'll tell you, Jeff is the best at for me and the show is he'll hit me with topics. He'll just send me a text message. Put this on the show this week. Put this up for the show this week. And they're always good. But right now in sports, football's quiet. The basketball series is okay. Hockey series is always good, but there's nothing monumental going on. The biggest thing is
you actually have a hockey question.
Okay, and of course, baseball right now. The hottest topic in baseball right now is the spin rate on the baseball and why and they're not letting pitch. So we're going to get to all of those things tonight. I got Yngwie Malmsteen says he goes out of his way to make sure his songs don't all sound the same. Did a bad job. They all sound the same. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Kiss, few things. Kiss documentary is coming up on the Vice Channel, one of those channels. Maybe it's A&E. Oh, A&E, same one that's doing the wrestling documentaries, which were all amazing. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But go ahead, Jeff, you said you had a hockey question. Go for it.
Yeah. What is going on in the hockey playoffs? Because I didn't watch. I kind of lost track.
Okay.
I know that the Islanders are playing.
Playing tonight.
They're involved. Mm-hmm. And the Canadians are playing against the Golden Knights.
Correct.
So now, let's say the Islanders and Canadians win. That's the Stanley Cup?
That would be the Stanley Cup. You're right now, you're in the conference finals. Yes. Four teams left.
They're not listed as the conference finals, though.
It should be the conference finals. That's only the four teams that are left.
I'm going to...
Check it. It should be the conference finals.
I'm going to tell you right now what it's...
You have the Islanders...
Stanley Cup semifinals.
There's no only four teams that I know of. I kind of follow it. It's the Islanders versus
Islanders Lightning
and the Canadians and the Golden Knights. That's it. Four teams. That should be conference finals. Shouldn't be semifinals.
Yeah, that's what it says. Semifinals. I know they changed a lot of things.
Yeah.
This year because of COVID.
Yeah, maybe the terminology is different, but right now you're in the conference finals. The winner of these games, both series tied up in 1-1. I will tell you that the Islanders have done a good job. They stole home field back, home court, home ice advantage back. They won the first game of the series, lost the other night, but they played two good hockey games. Both teams actually played great hockey. It's been good goaltending, nothing outrageous in calls. It's a conference finals. He's absolutely thank you, Patrick.
Listed, if you go to ESPN, Stanley Cup semifinals game 3, series title.
Well, yeah, if you read Patrick's thing, it's the league semifinals or the conference finals. So I don't know how they, but yes, it's the last four. So a seller just hit a monster 2-run homer. The Yankees now up 3-0. Bad baseball being played in this game by the Blue Jays. They've run themselves out of the weirdest triple play I've ever seen.
How is it that the Canadian Las Vegas Golden Knights, every year since they've been in the league?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I said it before that the days of really bad expansion teams, like the 76 Buccaneers, and is over. I mean, these guys went to the finals the first year.
It's not the case in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's over because that could happen. That could change at any moment.
100%, Jeff.
Team was to come into the league.
The first 4 or 5 years, they went to the conference. They went to the Stanley Cup the first year, and they've been in, I think, the playoffs almost every year. So it's,
what are they, like 5 years old, that team?
I think so, something to that effect, yeah.
Yeah, they've been around for a while, but not that long. But, yeah, they've been successful for, Jesus Christmas.
Well, 100%.
All the teams that are not so good, and they've been around for 100 years.
Yeah.
Nice to see the Canadians in the position.
I would like to see the Canadians get into the Stanley Cup Finals. I'll tell you what. I'm not an Islander fan. I grew up hating the Islanders because I was a huge Ranger fan. But this Islander team's a good team, and they deserve a chance. I mean, it's been a long time. I mean, you're talking 1980s, Jeff, for the Islanders. The last time they were smelling this much. And I would tell you, it's a good, gritty I think gritty's a good way to talk about the Islanders. They do a lot of good things, and they got a couple of guys who can really put the puck in the net. They're getting great goaltending. Trotz is a hell of a manager for the Islanders. But you know, this is a fun team. I think that would be a great Stanley Cup Finals. So, but listen, at the end of the day, Las Vegas, if they get in, or Tampa, well, screw them. That's good.
I see what Patrick wrote here, yeah. But you know what, Patrick, not for nothing. I mean, that may be a good point because I wasn't following hockey at the time when the Golden Knights came into the league. But there's plenty of teams throughout sports,
mm-hmm.
that pay millions every year for free agents.
Yeah.
And they get worse.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I don't know what it is that who's running the Golden Knights or what the story is with them, but they certainly know what they're doing, and other teams should take notice and pay attention to what they're doing because they're pretty successful.
Yeah, well, think about it, Jeff. You took a team that took, you know, 30 players, you know, let's say some minor leaguers and some guys for the minors and a whole roster, and you put it together and you went to a Stanley Cup even though they lost. Teams take forever to build a squad. It takes forever sometimes to put a good team together.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Christ, there's certain teams that will never make it. New York Jets, the Detroit Lions, the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could pretty much go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Rangers, they had a short run for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee Brewers haven't been good in a long time. You know, there's a lot of other teams.
Yeah, Padres, a lot of teams we could point that stick to. Knicks, a lot of teams, yeah.
Knicks, yeah. So there's a lot of teams mm-hmm. that, you know, could be doing something that aren't.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens.
Yeah,
it happens.
You got to give credit to the front office and the coaching staff. Mm-hmm.
There's the magic words right there. Well, that's for the Islanders, Lou Lamoriello.
Oh, yeah.
What he did with the fucking the Devils.
Oh, yeah. And he's done a great job. And he's right. This is a better scoring team. But this Islander team, they play defense. They take to the body. They're not dirty. And they play good fundamental hockey. I'm not an Islander fan. I don't root against this team because I don't dislike anybody on it. I could care less who wins the cup, but you know, it wouldn't kill me to watch the Islanders win. I think they're a fun team to watch, and hockey's been really good. The playoffs have been good. Hasn't been overly exciting, but it's been good solid playoff hockey, Jeff. The games have been really good games.
Yeah, you know, listen, you're right. I couldn't care less if the Islanders won or not.
Yeah.
All right, but when a New York team does good, it seems as though that it rubs off on other New York teams.
Absolutely, 100%.
So the Islanders, you know, maybe getting to the Stanley Cup and even winning the Stanley Cup may light a fire underneath the Rangers, the Devils.
Oh, sure.
You know, hopefully it rubs off on the football team,
mm-hmm.
the Giants, Jets more so than the Giants. Fuck the Giants.
Here we go.
The baseball teams, you know.
But we'll get to the Jets and the Giants in a little bit. I know we don't talk much basketball. I just want to do a little bit something on the Nets this week. I know you didn't watch it.
Go ahead, because I got something on the Nets, too.
You do? Okay, so I watched the Sunday Net game. The series was 2-1. Bucks at home trying to even the series. And Kyrie Irving gets hurt early, but the Bucks were playing great basketball. They were playing great defense, and they frustrated the hell out of the Nets, especially Kevin Durant, and had him taking the wildest shots, arguing with the referees after every play. And
did you see the Kawhi injury?
The Kawhi Leonard injury?
No, not Kawhi Leonard. What the fuck is
Kyrie
that?
Irving? Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I watched the game. Yeah.
Was it a bad one?
Well, Jeff, I would tell you, if his ankle was this right when he landed on it, it was this way. Straight side all the way down. Yep. I've done that. Yeah. I've done that to myself, and I can tell you for a fact that is one of the worst things you could ever do to your body. All his weight came straight down like this ankle. His ankle bone touched the floor.
Oh,
yes.
I can't even think about it. I can't even talk
now,
about it.
Now, I'll tell you, I dislike Kyrie Irving. I think he's all mouth. I don't think he's a really good player, not a great player. But I will tell you that I have no problem saying that if he sits out the rest of this series and if he can't play, I can understand it the way his injury. Now, I'll say this. they played like shit, and I thought they were done. And a great job by Kevin Durant on Tuesday night's game. He put the Nets on his back, went out and scored almost 50 points, made every tough shot, played an amazing game. They were down 19 points in the third quarter, came back and won, I think, by five. And a great win. And I'll give James Harden, who probably would not have played had it not been a big game like that. And even though he didn't play exceptionally well, he played 46 or 48 minutes on a bad leg and at least offered some help to Durant. And tonight's a big game for the Nets. They can't let the Bucks back in the series. I think if the Bucks win tonight, I think this is a very tough game seven on Sunday. Or is it Sunday? Yeah, I think it would be Sunday night, Sunday afternoon. So, but a good series in that one. I'm not the biggest basketball fan. I keep an eye on it a little bit, and some of the games are a little interesting to me, so I watch it. So, but a good job by Kevin Durant to make up for Sunday with a big win on Tuesday night, and good basketball game for him. And so that series is now 3-2 Nets, a chance to put it away tonight. The Atlanta Hawks have a chance to put away Philly, I think, on Friday night. They're up 3-2. And I think on the other side, the Clippers are up in one of those series, and I don't know the other series in the West. Clippers up over Utah, I believe. But again, good basketball, some good basketball playing, but too many injuries, and I just don't like basketball as much as I used to. So
they would still have to go to the finals, right?
Yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah, because you got the Hawks, 76ers. The Hawks lead 3-2, and the Clippers lead the Jazz 3-2. Is there anybody else playing over?
Yes. Yeah, has to be another series. There's two series going on each way, so they all have to win one more series, play another conference final.
Suns and Nuggets.
Yeah, so the
and
Suns
Phoenix leads 3-0.
Yeah, so there's still another round to go before we get to the finals. The finals aren't until, I think, the end of June at this point. So, basketball goes on way too long.
It's taking a long time.
Yeah, and these series take 2 weeks each. I mean, they space the games out three, four nights between games. It's ridiculous. So, but again, good luck to the teams tonight. It's been some enjoyable basketball this series. But I'll tell you one thing, guys, and I know, Jeff, you don't watch it, and I don't watch I've been listening to for years this, the Greek freak, Giannis, I can't even pronounce his last name, and the guy's an amazing athlete. I mean, he's got to be close to 7 foot tall. Dribbles the basketball like a point guard. An amazing going to the basket, just a tough guy to stop. But he may be the worst shooter I have ever seen. I would tell you, if you carried me on your back and shot three-pointers from mid-court, you would look better shooting than this guy.
Yeah, he's that bad.
Holy cow. Every time he shoots, it makes I get the feeling it's the first time he ever took a basket shot a basketball. It is the worst form. I mean, forget about his free throws. It's atrocious. But just trying to shoot a jump shot, he looks like he's never shot a basketball before. Again, amazing going to the basket, a tremendous athlete, getting out in the open floor or you get him inside. He's tough. But if it was me, I'd let him shoot the ball from 15 feet away all day. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. That's how terrible this guy is.
Sounds like a gentleman sign.
Here we go. But there's Jeff and Tom. We're hanging out at the Hard Rock at Sports Thursday night. We're usually here 7 to 9:30 every Thursday, bringing you the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, again, big happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Maybe first time in a couple years since we've had a real Father's Day. I hope you guys are enjoying it. And again, Jeff, I opened the show saying, I'm walking into stores everywhere, no mask. People, more and more people joining me in the maskless craze. Are you more maskless than masked at this point?
More often than not. But then again, to tell you the truth, the only time I was wearing a mask was to go into the store. See what this is?
I see you holding something in your hand that's going up and down, some sort of a clampish type of thing.
It is part of the model.
It is. That's part of the model. And what would you?
It's giving me a reading right now.
It is. And I'm going to play along. What is the reading telling you now, Jeff?
Wow. The reading now says, see how it's snapshot like
yes,
that?
Yes, you finally got the answer. Go ahead.
That means that the Giants are not going to win any games this year.
None at all? Zero? We got no chance?
Oh, wait. It's
It's reacting again.
It's doing something.
I think it's measuring your sphincter.
Well, if it was, it'd be bigger than that. It says the Giants, the Jets, we'll see you this, are going to have much success this year.
The Jets are going to have much success, but the Giants aren't?
No, no success for the Giants. Sorry. Not going to be working out for them.
Well, I would disagree, but we'll talk more about that. We're going to be doing... Yeah, I was just... Hold on, Jeff.
Okay.
We're going to do our... Yeah, sorry, I did talk to my wife about something, but we'll be doing our training camp show, Jeff. August the 3rd or August the 5th. We'll be doing our next total football show on the first Thursday night in August. We'll break down the training camps. We'll give you all the biggest news and the biggest topics. We'll do our picks for the season. We'll do all of that good stuff. I love the training camp show, Jeff. It's our start to it where the show gets revitalized again each year.
Yep, and everything I need to know about the training camps is right in here.
You got it right in there?
Right in there.
You don't need nothing else?
That's where the model resides.
Well, again, guys, it's going to be an interesting season. You know, we're back to normal football, you would think, although I still see teams, you know, not really practicing. You know, we got the extra game this year, Jeff. Let me ask you this question. We talked about the biggest things we're looking forward to last week. Well, let me ask you, what is the thing, I'm trying to think, what is the one thing for the upcoming football season that you're most curious about?
Well, there's a couple different things. I mean, if I had to go with most curious, I just so happen to have my list here. Honestly, most curious for me is going to be about the quarterbacks.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
To see how they do, who moves around, and who is maybe on their last leg.
I agree
with that. There's a lot going on with all the rookies that are starting. I don't remember this many new quarterbacks coming into the league and playing on different teams and everything else in a long time.
Yeah.
No, you know, I would say almost a third of the league, if not more, has changed sides or changed quarterbacks.
I agree with you. I think it's a big one. I'm looking more at the top for me. I'm curious. You're right. There's a lot of quarterbacks. I think how well these young guys like Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, do they step right in? Is Tua and Jalen Hurts, are they guys that, you know, are thought of to be top guys or soon to be top guys? Are they going to step up? You know, there's a guy like there's guys who are on the bubble like Dak Prescott. Who, yes, I know, got a big contract, but is not necessarily living on fire. You know, Danny Jones in New York. You know, is he ready to take that next step? There's a lot of things going on right now. You know, which of the rookies plays Justin Fields, Zach Wilson? I think Zach Wilson is a definite. But I think the three quarterbacks at this point that come down to it is Russell Wilson. I know that he's all in now again in Seattle, but if that team gets off to a tough start, you know what happens there. Aaron Rodgers, does Aaron Rodgers show up? I mean, is he going to show up in training camp?
I don't know what's going to happen with him.
You know, if you're Green Bay and he shows up late, do you tell him to sit on the bench and you're going with Jordan or Julian Love? I mean, that's a tough one right there.
How can you?
I don't know, but, you know, you think about it. If he shows up September 1st, the season starts, I think, September 11th or 12th. If he shows up September 1st, which – he could do. He could easily skip most of training camp and show up. But at that point, I mean, does he alienate his teammates? You know, do they say, you know what, you're a 38-year-old guy, you just missed training camp, we're going with somewhere else?
I don't know. I mean, listen, they seem to be, I don't want to say in panic mode, but they're taking a lot of people that it's like they're really no-name players that I just don't think they think that he's – I think that they believe he's going to come back.
Yeah, I think everybody does. I don't think he has a choice.
That's what I think. That's one thing.
I agree.
Second of all, I just don't see them going this route with Aaron Rodgers, you know, without Aaron Rodgers. I just don't see it.
So you see, no matter when he shows up, he's the quarterback.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but you know what? I would love to see Jeff, seriously, when he shows up, and you know he's going to show up late. I'd be shocked if Aaron Rodgers was there on time. When he showed up the first few days, let him sit on the bench and be the number two quarterback.
He may have no choice.
I'm just saying.
He may have no choice because the guy's 38 years old.
Yeah.
What kind of shape is he coming in?
I got you. Say. So at the end of the day, though, those two guys, and I still want to see how the Sean Watson thing plays out. I haven't heard a boo in the newspapers, very little on the websites. You know, is Deshaun Watson going to camp? You're a month away. Is he going to camp at this point? Does the NFL let him show up and play football while these 22 things hang over his head?
You know, I think the answer to that is exactly what happened last year with allowing the social justicing of players being able to kneel during the national anthem, the Black Lives Matter, how we need to make this right and everything else. If you don't take into consideration the women accusing him and what they're accusing him of, and you don't take it into consideration, I think that there's a chance that they're going to burn down the stadium if this guy plays.
That's the point. But at what point do you owe it to the Texans? Now, I know the Texans are going to be a bad team this year. They're probably going to be the worst team in the league, regardless if he plays or not, to be honest with you. But let's say, what point does the league owe it to the Texans to have them, to get their plan B going?
Well, it should be up to the Texans, never mind.
Well, you know, if you're the Texans, you want him to be your quarterback, right? So you're going in at this point. But
I would want him to be the quarterback. If I'm the Texans. If I was the Texans and he didn't want to play for my team that bad, why in God's name am I going to keep him? Okay?
I agree with you.
Turn around, I would have seen what the market was for him. Okay? I would have said, this is the market. This is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I would have seen if anybody would have overpaid and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have kept a player that did not want to play for my team, especially a player like Deshaun Watson, who's not in the league that long. I think Aaron Rodgers, if he turns around and like, listen, guys, I'm done here. I don't want to play. Okay?
Yeah.
I could almost see dealing with Aaron Rodgers with that because he's earned it. He's in the league more. He's been a player, and you know, you won a Super Bowl. You've been to a couple Super Bowls. You have a little bit more leverage, I think, Aaron Rodgers than Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, I would have said, you know what? This guy is 24, 25 years old. He's got his panties in a bunch already, which is, I hate to admit this, but I must. Jamal Adams, like you said, is a pain in the ass. So here he is now, second team. And started year two on the new team, and he's starting to be a pain in the balls already.
Yeah, he didn't show up.
These are players that I would have to say that I got to get rid of them. I can't keep these guys.
I agree, but at some point, here's the thing.
Seattle, number ones.
Listen. You paid for a guy who didn't help you last year, and who's already who's a me first player. I think the Jets. I will give Johnson a big pat on the back. I think he did a great job getting a lot for him. I think Seattle totally overpaid, and now I think they're going to bite them in the ass because I think he's one of those guys who just wants to do whatever he wants to do and play wherever he wants and has a bigger opinion of himself than he's actually worth. But that's a whole different story. But
don't you understand, Tom? Here's the thing. You're missing this.
Go ahead.
You've got to think this way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He has a big opinion of himself.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yep.
He also knows that a team traded two number one picks for him.
Yep.
Gave up two first rounders for him 2 years in a row. It wasn't even like, we'll give up 21 and 23. We're going to keep 22.
Right.
Throw in something else then. 2 years in a row, they gave up their number one pick for you, and now here you are holding out?
Yeah, no, listen.
It's pretty sick.
No, I agree with you, Jeff. See, here's the thing. I'm torn because I agree with you to a certain extent. If you don't want to play for my team, I want to get you off of that, and I agree with that. But at some point, you can't let the players dictate where they want to play. Like Aaron Rodgers signed the contract 2 or 3 years ago, probably the highest paid quarterback in the league at the time. And now 2 or 3 years later, he don't want to play here because he's not saying it, but it's all about money. If they threw a few more million dollars at him, he would be thrilled to stay in Green Bay. But I can't let Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Jamal Adams or anybody else turn around and start dictating, I don't want to play here anymore because I don't feel like playing here. I want to go play someplace else. You sign the contract. It's the team's decision whether you play on that team or not, as far as I'm concerned. And to a certain point, I would want the team to say, come and play, enjoy the contract that you signed, or sit home and get paid nothing. And I would prefer that than these guys getting to turn this into the NBA where they decide where they want to play, when they want to play, and when they want to play, which is even worse to me.
I understand your point, okay?
Okay.
But let's put ourselves in a position as owner and general manager right now.
Okay.
Me and you were talking about this, and Deshaun Watson's our guy.
Right.
Okay? And now you're the co-owner. It's up to me as the general manager to turn around and say, pal, listen, this guy's not coming back to play. I know you want him and everything else, but I'll tell you, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We can hold on to him for the next 3 years and make his life miserable and never allow him to play another fucking snap of football.
Right.
Or we turn around and we trade him, all right? I got a feeling that we could get already 2 number fucking ones
mm-hmm.
and maybe a number 2 in the next 3 drafts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what we can get. We can always turn it down.
True.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take applications for the guy and see what comes your way. Because what would you have done if you're the general manager and somebody, and I call you up, I'm like, Tom, you want to get rid of Deshaun Watson? Nah, we're going to hold on to him. Tom, 3 number ones. I'm giving you 3 number ones plus, like, well, let's pretend it's the Jets. I'm giving you 3 number ones plus Matt Donald.
I agree with your point. I think that's exactly what I would be wanting to do. My problem is once the players, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, once they start the grievance out loud, what you're going to get for them is going to decrease. Because if I'm the Jets or any other football team, and I know if I'm a team and I'm searching, I hear rumor, just a rumor, that they may be looking to get rid of the quarterback, and you deal from strength. Hey, my guy wants to stay here, but I'm looking to make a move. I'll give you 3 number ones. But if you hear that the guy wants to get out and it's contentious, those 3 number ones become 1 number one and a couple number twos because everybody knows the fire sale that's coming. Now, unless you got 7 teams bidding against each other, that's a different story. But I think if you're Deshaun Watson or Rodgers or any of those guys, and you want out, you go and say, guys, I want out of here. Before we go public with this, see if you could trade me from strength. Because the minute I put this in the papers, whatever you were going to get from me is going to be reduced.
Okay, but you want to know something? But that's when you could turn around and you say to Deshaun Watson, more so than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, you want to run to the papers? I'll pay you right now. I don't give a fuck. You'll sit there till you fucking rot.
Yeah.
Okay? I will honor that contract to a T.
Right.
All right, and I don't care what you say. I'll never buy it out. We'll never do anything. You got 3 years left. You won't play football again until 2024, bro.
I agree with that. Agreed.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your mouth shut, okay? You're going to help us help you.
100%. That's the right way. I agree with you.
You don't want to keep your mouth shut? Well, then you ain't playing football.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay?
Right.
Because as far as we're concerned, you're under contract.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
No, Jeff, I agree with you. I think you're 100% on the money on this one. You know, that's the proper way to handle it. And yeah, if I'm Green Bay, if I'm Seattle, or if I'm the Texans, you have a contract. Show up, don't show up. And especially if you're Aaron Rodgers. Let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers can't afford to sit out a year and think he's coming back next year the same player. You know, he's 38, going to be 39.
You're 100% right. But then again, Aaron Rodgers is also 38 years old. Aaron Rodgers could sit back and say, you know what, listen, I don't got to come back.
100%.
He's in jeopardy.
I don't
have to come back.
He's not getting the jeopardy job. He's not getting a job in Hollywood right now. And is he really going to walk away from it?
You don't know that.
Really?
Because you may be telling them and say, listen, trust me, I'm playing football. You know, you don't know.
I don't see. Here's the thing. I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to walk away from $33 million. I think, he would rather play on the West Coast. And did you see the other part of that? I just not to get off the subject, but your boy Derek Carr said, if the Raiders trade me, I'd retire first.
I didn't fucking post anything about that.
But Aaron Rodgers, I think Jeff is in. I think if you want to say Deshaun Watson has a little bit of a leverage, I think Aaron Rodgers, even though he's probably still a top two or three quarterback in the league at this point, maybe top quarterback in the league, he has little to no leverage. He's got $33 million he's staring at. He's got very little time left in his career. And I just don't think the price tag for him will be enough to get him traded from Green Bay. So
I disagree. And the reason I disagree is because of two names.
Go ahead.
Three names. Uh-huh. Roethlisberger.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Breeze.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Brady. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Brady is still in the league. Breeze just retired.
Right.
And what was Breeze? 41, 42?
Yeah, I think going into 42, if not a play into 42, yeah.
And Roethlisberger, who's getting up there,
mm-hmm.
and is still was 11-0 last year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking mm-hmm. about Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
okay? Who could be compared to any one of those three quarterbacks.
Oh.
With matter of fact, with Roethlisberger probably being the fourth best out of the four of those quarterbacks.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I know, for sure, absolutely. Yeah, at this point.
But still playing at his age and everything else. So to me, I would, although I understand what you're saying, I just think that he has plenty of leverage because as long as Brady starts still playing,
mm-hmm.
he can turn around and say, listen, I feel great. I'm 37. I haven't felt this good in 3-4 years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All he needs is somebody to come online and say, yeah, guy's throwing the ball like he's 33, 32 years old. You know, the guy's got mm-hmm. some zip on the ball. He's throwing it. It doesn't matter if when the games come, he can't throw the ball more than 10 yards.
Okay? Yeah.
Because all somebody has to do is watch him and say, like, well, holy shit. You know, that this guy's unbelievable. Look
yeah.
at the age of him. He's just unbelievable. It's going to get attention.
Listen, agreed. Again, I think that the problem is the Packers have their future quarterback they think on the roster, and this kid Love. He's already playing and practicing through the veteran minicamp as the number one quarterback. I think the fact that, you know, they own his rights, Rodgers. He can't force himself out. If he wants to sit out, this team's already ready to make a transition in the near future. You know, will they suck this year? Absolutely. If Aaron Rodgers isn't their quarterback, Green Bay finishes last in the division. There's no doubt in my mind. If they're lucky, they beat out Detroit for third place, if they're lucky. But
we'll see.
No, if Aaron Rodgers is not their quarterback, this kid is not going to be a great quarterback, and they don't have enough juice to beat out. Now, again, it's not a great division. The Vikings aren't going to be great. I think the Bears suck. And Detroit, I don't know what they're up to up there. So we'll see what your boy Goff does up there this year. But it's going to be an interesting football season. August the 5th, Jeff and I will be breaking it all down. We'll talk a lot of football between now and then, but football's quiet. And we're looking forward to the training camp show. It's really one of my favorite shows of the year because, you know, we get to talk football. We do a lot of what-ifs because you never know what our teams are going to look like. But, I think the New York teams are going to be fun this year. I think the one thing, Jeff, this year – am I cracking?
Gary, by the way, Anthony, how are you?
Anthony says
your mic is broken.
Yeah, are you hearing me clear?
I hear you, but you are a little crackly.
How's that? Any better? Really?
It might be a bad cord somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been using the same stuff all along. I haven't changed it all. Anthony, thanks for the head of the broken.
You take anything down between shows?
What do you mean? No, it stays up. Everything stays the same. I don't touch it. I don't touch the equipment.
Something's
hold on, let me switch sides.
It's not too bad, but it is crackling.
That's a bad spot. Hold on.
I'm tired too, man.
How's that? Is that any better?
Not really.
No?
Well, I wouldn't worry about it. It's manageable.
Okay. All right, guys, I apologize. Thank you, Anthony. I'll take a look at the mics and stuff over the weekend. It sounds perfect. I apologize. The first time hearing of it, people hit me up off the air telling me everything is the show's going great. But if the mic's a little off, I apologize. Okay. So again, Hot Rocket Sports. We're here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. I hope you guys keep coming back and joining Jeff and I every Thursday night when we do this. We bring you the biggest news from around the world. So hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. We'll do a little something off the air later. Patrick hears me clear up. So I don't know. Maybe it's your computer or your phone.
I hear it too.
Yeah, Patrick doesn't hear a thing. So maybe it's just your where you're sitting. I don't know. We'll see. But okay, let's move on. I guess people are still listening, so it must be good enough to keep going.
Speaking of people listening, I'd ask the weekly question of you. What's going on with our friends across the way?
Well, we have lost. We went from, I think it's 9.43 last week to 9.39 in a listenership in Israel. So thanks to our brothers and sisters over in Israel for listening to us every week. I could put up the stats if you'd like to see them. But
I'm just curious, man.
Just for the fun of it, Jeff, I want to switch over and find the stats. Just, I'm curious. I never see who the new audience is, but let's see. It is being shared over. Let's put that up for you. La-da-dee-dee-da-dee-da. Well, can't bring it up. But anyway, United States is 65%. Canada, 14.83%. Germany at the bottom at 0.82%. France is in the mix this week, Jeff. 1.15% of our audience is in France. And Israel pulling up in the middle, 9.39%. So thanks to all our friends in the United States, Canada, Israel, France, and Germany. That's on the radio side. And, of course, all of you people listening through Facebook, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We had a very nice audience last week. It was great to talk to
Brady
Fourbarrow, Leroy. Yes, Leroy. Yes. Yes, it was great to have him on outside the Granny character. Where you going? Good. So, folks, we got lots to talk about. And again, I hope you guys have been enjoying the weather out there, and we're all looking forward to a nice weekend. I actually have a really nice weekend planned, and looking forward to spending some time with family and everybody. So I hope you guys have a great weekend. Anthony Carey, I hope things are going well for you. I'm following your travels across the United States and Florida, so I hope things are going well for you. And thanks for checking in, my brother. We sorely missed. No, I don't think the Gomes injury has nothing to do with him being a hitter. I think it's all a matter of, he's a slight guy. He throws very hard. Listen, I think there was a stat I read. He threw over 100 miles an hour 120 times, and the next starter who threw over 100 times was 9. I want to say it was either Cole or Kluber. No, not Kluber. Or Bieber. One of those guys, he over 100 miles an hour 120 times, and he's not the biggest guy in the whole world, and he's always been a little injury prone. So I don't think it has anything to do with him in a bat. He's a great hitter for a pitcher. I just think he's not the biggest, strongest guy in the whole world. But when I watch him pitch, boy, he is absolutely, at this point, the best pitcher I've ever watched pitch. I mean, he doesn't have a bad outing. I mean, I never see the guy go out there and just have a bad inning where he gives up 2, 3, 4 runs. He doesn't have a bad game. He has like one at bat here, one at bat there, and he'll lose 2-1, 3-2, or he'll win a game 2-0, 2-1. I've never seen a guy pitch the way this guy pitches. It's just amazing to me. So that's all I can say about that. But let's talk a little bit. You know what? I'm going to go to a little to music, and then we'll come back to sports again, Jeff. We've been doing a lot of sports so far. So let's go back and talk a little bit about the about some music. And the first one I want to talk about is my boy, or your boy, really, Yngwie Malmsteen. And he was given an interview, and he was talking about how hard he works to make sure that his music sounds different, that there's such a difference in the songs. And I went, what are you talking about? Every song to me sounds the same.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, I don't just blame him. There's a lot of guys, and I think they're all talented. I wish I could play a quarter of well as these guys play. But I have to tell you, when you listen to some of these songs, it's all the same. It's just the same. And the ground is throwing too hard. Yeah, I agree, Patrick. Again, he doesn't throw the ball. It doesn't have a hard delivery. But because he's throwing so hard every pitch, the slider, the fastball, that, and he's over 100 miles an hour all day, that I think it's taking, it's chewing up on his shoulder and elbow. So I agree with you. But Jeff, what's your thought on the Yngwie Malmsteen type player, mostly instrumental music? They're starting to bring in, they're trying everything, bringing in symphony orchestras, you know, all sorts of stuff. Do you find that stuff enjoyable to listen to?
Not really. I mean, I remember when Yngwie came out, I was trying harder
yeah.
to find his Steeler stuff
yeah.
than his personal stuff, his solo stuff, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to put. And I ended up buying his first album, his first couple albums, actually.
I remember you had a poster on your wall of Malmsteen as a kid. Am I wrong on that?
I don't remember about that.
I'm pretty sure you had a Malmsteen poster in your room, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, as time went on, I'm definitely not the Malmsteen fan that I might have once been. But everything did sound the same. It was all the same stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the style of music, I guess, that he writes. No matter what he does, somewhere along the line, you're going to hear something going 10,000 miles an hour. That's all there is to it. It does not impress me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's not tasteful. It's good. It's not tasteful.
Yeah, again, it's just how much can you do when you write 75 or 200 songs, whatever his collection is. You know, there's only so much you can do, change the melody, this and that. You know, his style is his style. You add the words in, and you can use the same melody and song and write different lyrics, and it's a different song. But when you're playing over the same thing, it just sounds the same. And I just feel like it goes from one tune to the next. And I gotta be honest with you, I've tried to watch some of his stuff on YouTube, and you're amazed for 5 minutes that the man can move the way he moves. And then I find myself staring around the room and clicking on other videos, and I can't stay with it.
If you watch his hands,
his
spread hands,
uh-huh.
it's not what I thought it would do, what it would be. I thought that it would move a lot more fluidly, It's. I'm not going to say it looks like he's having a hard time playing, because that's not what I'm saying. But
right.
I just figured that he would move with less effort.
Smoother.
And at times, it's like he's just like his fingers don't look like they're matching up to what he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean in a good way. You know how you say some guys look like they're flying, but
right.
I just think that, I don't know, it just doesn't do nothing for me.
Of that genre. Okay, Satriani, Vi, obviously Yngwie. Is there a favorite? Did you say, I'm not a huge fan of the genre, but if I had to listen to one, it would be... No?
Nah.
I like Satriani, although Satriani, because one, he's been on the show, so it makes him, of course, I like to listen to him. But the one thing about Satriani, there's too much of the digital stuff in there for me.
I didn't like his Surfing with the Aliens, so I never really got into him at all either.
Yeah, I like Satch Boogie. I think Satch Boogie is a fun song. I liked Surfing with the Alien the first 100 times I heard it, but then it's like all over serious all day long. And yeah, I feel the same way as you. I've kind of gotten past it a little bit. Again, I still prefer music with some vocals and, a little something to kind of dress it up a little bit. And it just all starts to sound the same after a while. But, again,
I just don't.
Talented.
Like I said, it's not for me.
Yeah, again, I think Anthony's right. I think guys, I don't know if it's an ego thing, Jeff, but I think those guys being in a regular band is tough. It's just like they want their stuff to stand out. But, Satriani's stuff with Chicken Foot is great. The model's going again? Uh-oh, the model's finished?
Yeah.
Oh, what we got now, Jeff?
Saying that it clamped down tight, meaning nothing for Barkley this year. Sorry, Tom.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
Dang. Folks, the model is spoken. Not Rick Martel, the model, Jeff Tolwinski, and his model spoken.
I am the model.
Yes. And I'm going to get to some wrestling after this. I watched more wrestling. I am so hooked on wrestling, Jeff. It's scary. I'm frightened. I'm scaring myself how much wrestling I'm watching. Last night, I'm doing my stuff for the show, And I usually put something on in the background, whether you know whether I got the TV on. Unless I had the Yankee game going, but I'm on YouTube doing some research, and what pops up is after WrestleMania 3, which was March of 87, January of 88, Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan actually wrestled for the championship on Saturday Night Main Event. Now, I don't know if you remember this. I didn't.
I knew wrestling for Main Event.
Okay. Now, here's what I said. I never saw this, and then I remember watching it. So Andre and Hogan wrestle. Ted DiBiase and Virgil are in the corner, okay, mm-hmm. of Andre. Andre goes out, and he pins Hogan. But clearly on the second count, his shoulder is up, and referee Dave Hebner gives him the three count, even though the shoulder's way up. You see it flat out, and Andre's the champion. Turns out, after everything breaks up, that there's a Dave Hebner has a twin.
Twin brother.
Yes. That's a rooster. And they get into a big fight because now it comes out that basically Ted DiBiase has paid this lookalike to throw the match. Now, I don't know what happens after. I'm actually going to spend the weekend. I'm going to watch a bunch to see how the belt goes next, where it winds up. Because obviously Andre doesn't keep the belt. Actually, at the end of the match, he hands the belt to Ted DiBiase, which Vince McMahon's given the old, I don't know, you can't just hand off the thing. Pat Patterson's going to have to get involved as the commissioner of wrestling. And I'm curious to see where it goes.
It's part of the storyline. And I would almost guarantee you that Hulk Hogan disappeared for a while.
That might have been the time where he kind of had to step away. I don't know where. I think the belt wound up at like one of those Survivor Series, and they had like a match to see who comes out of there with the belt. I'm not sure. I'm going to research it. But it was fun. And then I watched the Bret Hart documentary, which was great. I watched all of the ones on the A&E. I thought they did a great job. I learned a ton of stuff about wrestling, about those guys. It's all very sad because of the way most of them wound up. But I also watched the Dynamite Kid documentary on Dark Side of the Ring. And the Dark Side of the Rings are exactly what it is. They give you nothing, mostly negative stuff about the wrestlers. And it's holy cow. I mean, I knew the stuff about Dynamite because I read the book. But, you know, I am hooked on wrestling. I think last weekend I watched WrestleMania 8. About halfway through.
The Dynamite Kid when he lost all of the weight?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm telling you, go look up Paul Orndorff, what he looks like, that you couldn't even recognize the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
crazy. Like a cancer patient.
Which guy, which him? Which him are you talking, referring to, Rooster? So, yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, the Dynamite Kid, he wound up in a wheelchair. I mean, completely broke living in this, you know, his family, you know, he chased his wife with a shotgun. It, you know, you're talking about, but I tell you one thing, and the Bret Hart one, Dynamite Kid, the Bulldogs were my favorite wrestlers growing up, but yeah, he got hurt in a match. He wound up tearing up his back. And in fact, they went to go drop the belt or they went to go fight for the belt. And he came to the ring, even though he couldn't walk, he basically dragged himself to the ring, stood on the outside of the ropes, and then they pretended to knock him out, so he was on the floor. And Davey Boy fought the whole match and lost the chance for the title. I think they dropped it to, not to the Hart Foundation. I'm not sure. Maybe it was the Hart Foundation. And then that was it for the Bulldogs. And after that, Dynamite was done, basically. Bad back. He tried to wrestle a few more times, but his back was shot. Steroid use, drug abuse. The guy was shot, and by 40 years old, he was in a wheelchair, and he just recently died. Yeah, guys, I've told Jeff this for the last 6 months, and maybe it's a little shorter. I've been so hooked on wrestling. In fact, I still have Jeff's shirt. I bought him at the Hulk Hogan Beach Shop, which I went to twice down in Florida. I have to get that to Jeff somehow, but. Just great, great. I'm loving the memories and going back and watching. I watched the last WrestleMania. I think it was WrestleMania 8 with it's such great matches and just have some fun with it.
What was the main event of that one, WrestleMania 8?
Hold on. I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm trying to think. It wasn't Hogan. It was Trying to think. It might have been Bret Hart for the title against Yokozuna. No, I'm not sure about that now.
I don't like Bret Hart, man.
I was never a huge Bret Hart, but I'll tell you this. It's a close, for me, technical wrestlers. My top three now. I want to put Steamboat in him before, but my top three are probably Dynamite, Bret Hart, and the Macho Man are probably the three best technical wrestlers. And I think Dynamite Kid, Tom Billingsley, may be the best wrestler I ever saw. If you go back and watch the Bulldog match, if you watch, and a lot of the wrestlers will tell you, he's the guy who started all that high-flying stuff. His snap suplex is one of the greatest of all time. Flair was a good wrestler, but not the technical wrestler. I mean, Flair, Hogan, they're great wrestlers in the sense of their characters and the way they portray the Jeff. But to me,
they served a purpose to the wrestling world. They were a little bit more than just wrestlers.
Yes.
They were trendsetters.
100%.
You know, they blazed a trail. Without a doubt, and not for nothing,
mm-hmm.
say what you want about them, but all these bigger names, Flair and Hogan,
mm-hmm.
they were all kind of pointing at one another and converging at the same place at the same time, because let's face it, after a while, it was a race to get into the WWE.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It took over everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you, like I said, I was never a Flair guy, to be honest with you. He was probably in the WWF when I kind of stopped watching it, and I'm just looking up something on WrestleMania 8 right now, Wikipedia. I'm going to give you the big matches of the night, Jeff. Let's see. Hold on. Background storylines. Let's see. Bushwhacker. The big match was Hogan defeated Sid Justice.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the big match. Big Boss Man, Virgil, Sergeant Slaughter. Oh, the one I watched was 7 also. Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter, which I thought was an odd matchup at that point, because I didn't think Sergeant Slaughter was that big a name by that point.
What was the year?
WrestleMania 8 would have been somewhere in the early 90s, 92?
Persian Gulf.
Yeah, and he was the bad guy at that point, so that's right. It was WrestleMania 7. That's the one I watched. It was an entertaining WrestleMania, but that was the big match, was Hogan against Sergeant Slaughter. I was never a big Ric Flair guy, but as performers, they were tremendous. So was Hogan. Hogan, listen, you can hate Hogan all you want. Most wrestlers hate him. A lot of people don't think his matches sucked, and I agree with it. Hulk Hogan is the Babe Ruth of wrestling. I don't care what anybody tells me. He is the Babe Ruth of wrestling for one reason only. The guy was in the first eight WrestleManias. If WrestleMania became huge because of his matches and wrestling blew up, and there would have been no big wrestling on Saturday nights and all that without the Hulk Hogan character. We can argue that all day.
That I disagree with.
Why?
Because wrestling used to be on Saturday nights.
Oh, great.
That's where we all got connected to wrestling.
At midnight, Channel 9, not 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on Channel 4.
The Saturday night main event was a little bit later because it was the Saturday night main event and it was on before Saturday Night Live. So it was either 9 or 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
9, 10 o'clock that it came on. And I remember it being on later. But I will say that Hulk Hogan definitely, you know, he was the big part of it, without a doubt. But it was still territories.
Yeah.
Coming to a head at that point in time.
Yes.
If you went down south, WWE was gaining steam,
mm-hmm.
but it was still, you know, Flair's country down there.
Agreed, but I don't think Ric Flair's character.
Ric Flair never wrestled in New York when we were younger.
Correct, 100%. But I don't think Ric Flair's character personality would have blown it up to TV around the country, maybe around the world. The way the Hulk character did. The Hulk character was a capture of the times then. You know, it was all back to USA. You know, everybody was waving the flags. The Cold War was coming to an end. You know, we were back up on top of things. And the Hogan character, Jeff, that character went a long time, three different title runs. I mean, everybody went to him and died, and they were done. You know, to me, Hulk Hogan, To me, again, you can disagree, and I don't disagree, but if you didn't put Hogan in that spot, who would be the guy for you? What would be the thing that blew up? Because listen, we watched it Saturday nights at midnight. All of a sudden, it's worldwide. What was the – who would you give that credit to? Wrestling in general?
Well, don't forget, Hogan definitely boosted wrestling up. But at the time, when Hogan used to leave mm-hmm. and they would crown a new champion because he was making a movie or doing
right.
whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
wrestling continued.
Correct.
It kept going. Who would have been the one to take his place? It depends. Wrestling doesn't make the same leap if Hogan was a heel.
Correct, 100%.
If Hogan was anything but a face,
100%.
If he was a heel, wrestling is still happening in auditoriums and everything else.
Agreed, but he was
that kind of sport.
Agreed, but he was the baby face and he was the thing. So that's what I'm saying. I can give you the what if too, and you're 100% right. If Hogan's Hogan's the heel, wrestling does not blow up the way it did. But he was the baby face, and he was. To me,
yes, but
the
you
guy.
Know what? If you think about this,
mm-hmm.
okay, in the past,
yep.
wrestling was always based around the heel. Okay, a lot of times the heel had the belt. Okay, the heel would be, I get a lot of airtime, receive a lot of airtime, and everything else. Then Hogan won.
Yep.
Okay, and then Hogan had the belt for the longest time. But sooner or later, they had to let Hogan lose the belt.
Oh, of course.
Because you had the Ultimate Warrior come in. You had to do a couple things.
Sure.
You had to capitalize on a
absolutely.
Couple things.
Absolutely. 100%.
Once he was in there, then it was like they rotated the heel. There was no heel strong enough to take the belt from him and hold the belt for that long. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
So
yes.
he had to work in there.
Well, think about it, though. During the 70s, Jeff.
The heel.
Right, but don't forget the 70s and Rooster, you're right. I saw probably five or six really big shows in the Garden for wrestling and a lot of good concerts there. Not a lot of great ones. One bad one was Motley Crue, and Loudness was a terrible concert. Jeff and I got to see that at Madison Square Garden. So, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, Jeff, but in the 70s, while the babyface held on to the title, you know, Bruno, Backlund, they were vanilla. They weren't, you know, the heel was probably the bigger wrestlers until Hogan flipped the script. I think Hogan becoming the babyface was the first time the babyface was the star of the show, basically.
Well, look at what he had. Look what Hogan had. Hogan had
mm-hmm.
the build.
Yep.
Okay. He was just coming off of Rocky III.
Yep.
Okay, he just made Rocky III. So if you didn't know who he was, by the time Rocky III hit, you knew who Hulk Hogan was. Okay, that's
uh-huh.
one thing.
Yep.
He had personality.
Yep.
Okay, he took America for a ride. He ended up beating the Iron Sheik.
Yes.
For the title. So everything was focused on him and to push him along.
Perfect.
100%. And then... you know, the toys and everything else that was based off of Hogan. It's just unbelievable. It's
yeah.
like, how was he not going to get the push? And you're right. Maybe Macho Man Randy Savage would have been the next best thing after Hogan.
Maybe. I would agree with that.
The Ultimate Warrior already showed that he could only do so much for so long.
Yeah, even though he was a cartoon character, his staying power was bad. He was a bad wrestler. And he was really bad at promos, if you really look at it.
Yeah, well, a lot of.
Yeah. But you're right. Again, perfect timing for Hogan. You know, America coming off all that stuff with Iran and Russia. And then you have the Iron Sheik, who was the perfect foil, a great wrestler, and the perfect character. You know what I mean? So you're right. And you're right. It was just a perfect time for Hogan. But to me, I can't give you any other scenario to say that it actually happened. And Hogan, to me... while he wasn't the greatest wrestler I ever saw, his matches were not great. It was the same scenario. He comes out, does well, gets his butt kicked for a while. All of a sudden, he's impenetrable. You know, he gets you the boot in the face, drops the leg, and you're pinned. And he did it to every single person in the WWF along the way. So, but I'll give him credit. Guys, you never know where we're going to go with the show. We were just talking Yngwie Malmsteen. Next thing you know, we're talking wrestling and Hulk Hogan. So you just never know where this show is headed. Yes, and Camel Clutch, besides the Camel Clutch being one of my favorite, I forgot about the chicken wing. Do you remember who was famous for the chicken wing?
Or Backlund.
Absolutely. During his record wrestling documentaries, I got to see some of these old holds I forgot existed. and Bob Backlund's. Yeah, Bob Backlund was screwed a bit. He seemed to go crazy at some point.
Yeah, something like that. It was his character or whatever, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, it was, you know, it's amazing out there. Listen, if you got to go, I got a couple more things I'm going to end it with and call it a night. So,
no, go ahead. Sure? I'm getting tired.
Yeah, me too. I see it in your eyes. Let's see. I'll make it quick because I know you're beat.
I'm going to stand for a second. Go ahead.
Good. So anyway, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and I here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. Again, next week, Sammy Lee from Red Rain checks in with us. We got the NFL training camp show coming up first week of August, and all sorts of things. We got lots of things here every Thursday night. I took a 5-hour energy, so I'm getting my second wind, but we got plenty. But Jeff's a little beat up, and we'll call it a night a little early tonight. But yeah, make sure you come on back on Thursday nights. We do this every week. We have some fun. You never know where the show's going to go. 1 minute.
Well, I gotta go inside.
Yeah, we talk a little Yngwie Malmsteen, and we next thing you know, we're in wrestling. But guys, if you get a chance, check out the A&E documentaries or the biographies on the wrestlers. They did an 8-part series. Great stuff. If you're a wrestling fan, you're going to love it. Check out the Dark Side of the Ring on the Vice channel. I have to tell you, thanks, Rooster. Thank you. I appreciate you just chiming in, brother. Thank you. And we've got to come on the show one of these weeks, Rooster, and hang out with us a little bit. We've got to set that up, you and I. But also, there's the Greatest Treasures where the WWE runs out there. And they get a couple of their old stars, and they go back and find some of their old stuff. They're going to be opening a museum, which I will definitely attend. And they go back and they try to find their old stuff. It's a lot of fun. So if you get a chance, A&E Sunday nights, the biographies are over, but you can catch the reruns. I think there's at least one more show with the Greatest Treasures. So do yourself a favor. If you're a wrestling fan, especially 80s wrestling, get out there and watch those. Dark Side of the Ring, they're okay, but it's a lot of negative. I've seen the Ultimate Warrior. I've seen Brett, the Hitman, the Dynamite Kids one. They're a lot of negative. That's why I call it Dark Side. So be careful if you're watching those. You're going to get a lot of, hey, what's up, Dig? Tell Uncle Chuck I said hello. Let's talk a little more baseball before we call it tonight. Jeff's taking a break right this minute. You know, on the baseball side, I wanted to finish this up. You know, if baseball was going to go out there and take a run at a rule that's been violated since I can remember, back in the 50s with guys like Whitey Ford cutting baseballs, you know, with the Negro brothers and Gaylord Perry went to the Hall of Fame based on that kind of stuff. You know, I have to tell you that it's, to me, baseball is doing itself an injustice in the middle of a season, changing the rules, enforcing the rules. Okay, this is something that's been going on for years. It's become commonplace, and to do it now, it's really kind of an embarrassment that they've done this because players can't hit. You know, the pitchers are so far out ahead of them that they can't hit, and they're trying to level the playing field. And I said it earlier, I'd rather this, though, than them change the rules of the game or change the mound, move bases, do something that's drastic to change the game to make it even. Don't change the game, okay? Players need to adjust. Hitters need to find a way to catch up to the pitching. You know, the problem with baseball now is a simple one. Fundamentals are gone. I'm watching the Yankee game. The fundamentals, the Blue Jays couldn't be playing worse baseball. The Yankees this year, to date, 31 times thrown out on the base pass. Make it 32 because Gardner got thrown out on the base pass tonight. They lead the league by far. The average is 18. The Yankees at 32. Guys thrown out on the base pass. Their fundamentals are terrible. And the reason guys can't hit is because everybody's swinging from their heels. Nobody is playing fundamental baseball by playing situational baseball. And that's the problem with baseball today, is not pitching's that much better than the hitters. Baseball, the hitters are simply going up there trying to hit a three-run homer every time up, no matter what the count is, no matter what the situation is. And until the players do that, you're not going to have parity in baseball again. You can doctor it up all you want if you're Major League Baseball. And the other thing I'll tell you this, to end it up, Aaron Boone should be fired. I don't care if he turns his team around and they make the playoffs. This team is fundamentally a bad team. They've got multiple times this year where players didn't know how many outs there were in an inning. Again, thrown out 32 times, almost double the league average. Guys, I got to hang in there 1 second. This phone keeps ringing. I got to pick it up. I apologize.
I'll be right on. I'm going to close the show and I'll be right on.
Sorry, guys, but I'll end it with this for tonight. Guys, again, Aaron Boone should be fired. And you guys could say whatever you want. I'm not big on call for managers to be fired. I'm not big on players have to play and manage it. But when the team is fundamentally bad, when the team, Jeff, goes out there and gets thrown out too many times in the base pass, when you don't know how many outs there are, when you don't know how to situational hit, that's a reflection on the manager. And to me, Aaron Boone needs to go, and the Yankees need to find a way to change the complexion of this team.
Don't you think that after a while, like, you've been playing baseball for, 25, 30 years, whatever it is, when you're a player at that level at that point in time, and you don't know certain things about the game? Like, it's unbelievable at times, man. Really.
Yeah. Again, Jeff, it comes down to you should be the guy who goes out there and makes your craft better. And when you go out there and you don't know situations and you run yourself into outs, when you get thrown out of the base path consistently, when you go out there and you don't know how many outs there are in an inning and you get caught in a spot like that. I'm watching the Blue Jays tonight. They're bad base running, terrible plays in the field, throwing the ball around. This is fundamental baseball that has just been – it's a lost art. And for me, you could be a bad team when your fundamentals are not there. It's like a football team that gets too many penalties, too many offsides, and the team's off. That, to me, is a reflection on the coach. Same thing in baseball. So, to me, at the end of the day, you could be a fundamentally sound team and lose – that happens. You're just not as talented as the next team. That's on the general manager. But when you're a fundamentally bad team and you lose games because you don't know the situation, that's on the manager. To me, the manager's got to go.
Well, listen, it ain't the manager's, to me. It's not the manager's fault if the guy that's at second base forgets how many outs there is.